Today's scripture is from Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is Easy Street. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods, belches are their praise, all they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're awaiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21.
Now, since I arrived here in Prague, I have said over and over again, there are two things that make up the life of faith. One is the understanding that we are a creation of a loving God, a God who loves us, a God that created us for relationship, and that God desires, really at all cost, a relationship with us. That so much so that Jesus would come as the incarnation of God, the very presence of God, and be tortured to death on the cross, and in his resurrection, overcome every barrier to being in touch with God that loves us. The second thing is our responsibility. We have a choice. We can be in touch with God or not. Okay, we're not going to be a slave to God. We're not going to be a robot that just has a mindless relationship that we have to be in touch with God. This is a choice. And so through prayer, through scripture reading, through worship, through the life of faith, we get to be in touch with God through our own free will. Okay, we don't have to. But God wants that. God has paid every price for that. He created us. He died for us. And his resurrection overcame every barrier and wants to be in relationship with us. And if we understand that, if we understand that we are a creation of a loving God that wants relationship and we have capacity, we have every opportunity to be in relationship of love with that God through prayer, through scripture, through worship, through the living a life of faith, that is the way, that is the truth, that is life, that is the spiritual life that is so much more than just this world that we live in. It's not about rules and regulations. Of course we want to be people of character and integrity, but it's not a matter of just enforcing rules. It's not a matter of rituals and things that are empty. Okay, of course we have our patterns of worship and the things that move us. But it's not about that. It's about to be in touch with God. Now, I've said that over and over again. And I think that one of the reasons this is difficult for us is there are some misconceptions. There's some misunderstandings, some wrong ideas about who God is and about who we are. And I think this gets into our minds and in our hearts sometimes. And while it sounds good to have a loving God who wants a relationship and that we have a path through prayer and worship and scripture to be in touch with that God, to be above all this stuff of the world, it's harder to do than it sounds. It's sometimes hard to live that out because we have so many hindrances in our life. Sometimes we wonder, does God really care? I mean, with all the bad stuff in the world, with all the bad things that are happening, does God really even care? And does God really even care about me? I mean, even if God cares about the whole world, could God care about me? I mean, I'm not anything special. Why would a creator of all the universe care about one little person? And yet we see revealed in the words of Jesus. And remember, Jesus is the very presence of God in this world in human form. That God took human form. The incarnation is what that's called. In taking human form in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, in the midst of all trouble, in the midst of all trials, in the midst of Herod wanting to kill him, Herod the king wanted to kill him. I've had some bad days in my life, but I don't think anybody's ever wanted to kill me. Okay, so no matter how bad it is, Jesus understands how bad it can get. Yeah, they wanted to kill him. And Jesus says, I don't have time for this. I'm healing the sick and doing good. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, abuser of the messengers of God, how often I have longed to gather your children, like a hen, her brood safe under her wings. This is what Jesus says about Jerusalem that has rejected him. This is what Jesus says in the midst of people wanting to kill him. Jesus looks out over this city that has done such damage, so many people that have hurt so many godly people, that have abused so many, and says, all I've really wanted to do is just gather you together like chicks under the wings of the mother hen. This is how gentle and how loving God is. This is what God really wants. That God wants to gather God's people in the midst of all hurt and all hardship and all struggles in this world to gather his people, his children, like a mother hen would gather her chicks, to gather under her wing. This is what Jesus says in the midst of the hurt. When we have a concept of God that maybe God doesn't care. Maybe if we look around the world and see all the hardship, how can we even say God cares? God sees the hardship, and God's desire in the midst of it is to gather us under his wing, to gather us in his arms of love. That yes, this world's going to be difficult. The Bible never promises us that the world's going to get easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It was not easy for Peter and Paul and all the great ones that came, that preached and proclaimed Jesus, those that have followed God. The world is not easy. We're here for a little while, and there's going to be hardship. And in the midst of that, God says, you know, my real desire is just to be like a mother hen to you all, to just gather you under my wing and give you that protection, to give you a different kind of life, not just to throw you out there in the midst of the hardship, but to gather you under my wing. This is the kind of God that loves us, that cares for us, that doesn't promise to make everything the way we want it in the world, but to love us in the midst of the hardship. That's the kind of God we serve. And if you've been taught any other kind of God, then you're disagreeing with what Jesus says, okay? This is not disagreeing with me. Jesus is the one who says, this is what I want. Again, we have a choice. We can say, I'll do it on my own. I'm tough. I'm strong. I'll figure it out. I don't need God gathering me like a little chick under the wing of a mother hen. You can reject that if you want. But Jesus says, this is what I want for you. Even when we have made mistakes, even when there is hardship, this is what I want. There's been a lot of different ways God has been taught through the centuries. But I think it's safe to go back to what does Jesus say he wants. That Jesus wants to gather his children like a mother hen. And keep in mind, these are the people that have rejected him. These aren't just his friends. These aren't just his buddies. These aren't the people that are always nice. These are the people that are doing wrong. Even to them, he says, if I had my way, I'd just gather you all like a mother hen. That's the kind of God we have. And then we start to think, well, if God really is that kind of God, do I deserve that? I mean, you know, we've all got things in our life we're not proud of. We've all got things in our life we'd rather not talk about, that we would just rather not discuss, or that we're hopeful doesn't ever come to the light of day. Or maybe everybody does know it and we'd rather just not talk about it. Everyone has things in their life that they wish they had to do over again. Decisions they made, they wish they had back. Choices they made, they wish they'd have made a different choice. It's part of what we experience as human beings. But sometimes from that, we start to think, you know, do I really deserve that kind of love? Do I really deserve that kind of being brought into the wings of under the wing of a mother hen that loves me? Do I really deserve that? Especially when we know our own bad attitude. We know our own struggles. We know the disappointments in our life. Sometimes we look even at God and we're just angry because things haven't worked out the way we want. And maybe we start to think, I don't either deserve to be there, or maybe I don't want to be there. Maybe I just want to be mad at God. maybe I just don't even want to be under that wing. I'll just do it on my own. Because life has disappointed us. Because we've been hurt along the way. Because we did the best we could. We made all the right decisions that we could. We know they weren't all right, but we did the best we could at the time, and things didn't work out. And now maybe we wonder, do I even want to be under that wing? Do I even trust God that much? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul was writing about. And he says, you know, sometimes we do struggle. And sometimes we get pulled away, and it's more about our appetites, he says. It's more about what we want. It's more about making ourselves comfortable and our accomplishments and what we want in life. He says, but, you know, we have a different kind of life. He said, but there's more than life to us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting on the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and the whole of the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be under and around him. Now, there's a subtlety here I want you to notice. He's talking future tense. In much of this, he's talking about how he'll make things right. He'll make us have a whole body. He'll transform us from our earthly bodies. His glory in the same image as his glorious body. He'll make us beautiful. Okay, future tense. He'll make us beautiful and whole. But he's doing this with the same powerful skill in which he is putting together. Paul switches the tense right there. That's a subtle thing, but it brings about an important thing. And we see this a lot in Scripture, that there is a futureness to our glory. That's heaven, that there is going to be an end to this pain of this world, both in our human lives and in the world in general. Okay, even science tells us the earth's not going to last forever. Okay, things come to an end. There's a future as we, as eternal images of God, as people created to be in relationship with him forever, we live in heaven and we are transformed from this life. But he says it's by the same power that he is putting this together. Now, there's a subtlety there, but I want to make a big deal over it. Because there's a big deal in theology about this. In the study of God, there is a concept called the already and the not yet. The already and the not yet. And that means that God has already won the victory through the work of Jesus Christ. We are already citizens of heaven. We are already there. We are already with Jesus Christ. We are already in his Spirit. We are already transformed into his image, but not yet. It's both at the same time. In other words, we start in a place where we are citizens of heaven. We are more than just the troubles of this world. It's more than just trying to get by or be a decent person. It is a relationship with God. And we are fully in that already, but yet it's not yet full because we're still hindered in this world. And there will become a time where it'll be even better, where the hindrances of this world will be gone. And we will experience the fullness. And in the troubled life that we live, we can look forward to that spiritual life that we live forever. And there is a sense of, we're not quite there yet, And yet we're not just sitting around waiting. And that's the key to it. We're not just sitting waiting, oh, someday in heaven it'll get better. That's not what we're waiting on. We'll get there. We're not going to fully experience it until we get to heaven. But there is a presentness. The Bible tells us the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That we do experience it now. That we need to know who we are, not based on our accomplishments, not based on our mistakes, not based on our bad choices, not based on who we are in our resume, not based on our bad attitudes, not based on the secrets of our life that we're ashamed of, but based on who Jesus makes us be in his redemption. That's the already. He's already done that. He's already declared us innocent. Now, we know in our actions we're not, but he has declared us in his love, in relationship with him. He said, I forgive you. I love you, and I want a relationship with you, and we will work through the stuff in your life. The thing that I've said for many years now is God loves you and accepts you and even likes you exactly as you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's got a better plan. And that is the already and the not yet. You are already fully loved and accepted and adored and cherished by the Savior. Exactly as you are. Already. And yet, he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's got better for you. That's the not yet. The already and the not yet. It is present and it is to come. And so we don't have to look at ourselves and wonder if we deserve it. That's not the point. Jesus already has the victory. He has already declared us worthy through his actions, through his love. We don't have to worry about our disappointments in life. It's going to be a struggle in life. It's a fallen world. And yet we don't measure ourselves based on this fallen world. We're a citizen of heaven. We are already above all of this stuff, and there is more to come. And so it's not a matter of signing a contract with God in order to go to heaven when we die. It is a matter of experiencing God now, already, and knowing that we're not yet fully experiencing God. There's more to come. There's a lot to look forward to. But we don't wait on that day when we join him in heaven. We experience the kingdom of God already as citizens of heaven. What would it be like when you went to work tomorrow or go around the city or go shopping or whatever you do during the day? What if you went understanding, I am a citizen of heaven? I may be a failure at everything in my life, but I'm a citizen of heaven. I may be discouraged and disappointed with everything that's happened in my life, but I am a citizen of heaven. I'm already there. And I can walk that path. And I can experience what it's like to be loved completely and wholly and without reservation by the one who created me and died for me and redeemed me. And not only that, there's more to come. I'm not even fully there yet. I've got more to look forward to. And so anything that hinders me, anything that's a struggle between me and God, anything that I feel like is not quite there yet, that's the not yet. God can get us there. God has never looked at anything in anyone's life and said, well, man, I don't know what to do with that. Not once, ever. God has never looked at a person who made any decision and said, I'm out. I'm done with that person. Never. Not once. Now, God has allowed people to leave him because God is not into slavery. God doesn't make robots. God allows people to walk away, and he does it with a broken heart. If we don't want to be with God, we don't have to be. But God has never looked at someone and thought, I have no idea how to get that person better. God knows every time. He already knows. He is in the already. God already knows exactly how to be in our life the perfect way. And knows how to get us to the not yet, the better place that he has for us. And ultimately, he knows exactly how to get us to heaven, the ultimate in the not yet, that ultimate place of our relationship with God in the life to come. But it's not just waiting on that. It is in the now. Because what God wants is to gather us like little chicks. He knows we're a mess. He knows how ignorant we are, how we don't have a clue. We have no idea how to face this big, difficult world we're in. We try hard, and we look good, and sometimes we even make good decisions. He knows we're a mess. He knows that we're just going around scurrying like little chicks, just trying to make it. He says, let me gather you up. And you don't think you're worthy. You're upset. You're disappointed. It's all right. Let me gather you up. And if things aren't perfect yet, you're already a citizen of heaven. That's a lot. You are already redeemed in Jesus Christ. If you wish to follow him, if be a follower of Jesus, he'll accept you. He'll take you every time. And if you don't know how to get from there, here to there, God knows exactly how to get you there. He is in the already, and he can move us to the not yet. Because God is a God of love. And how do we do that? We accept that this is about God, not about us. It is about God. We accept that we want Jesus to be our Savior, our Lord, our guide. We follow him. We pray. We read the scriptures. We allow God to speak to us. We worship him. We sing his songs. We pray to him. We do all of the things of faith to follow Jesus. Because the thing every person needs, no matter how tough we are, or strong we are, or smart we are, we're just like little chicks in this world. And Jesus says, I just want to gather you up under my wing. And everyone needs that. So that's why when we come into this place every week, we always spend time in prayer. Because we sing songs to him, we read his scripture, we reflect on his word, we think about together. It's my job to present ideas to you in a sermon. But ultimately, the reason we're here is because God is here. And we join together in prayer with a God that loves us. We may not always feel that. It's not about our feelings. It's about God. And so I will begin our prayer, but I invite you to pray out loud if you like. Anyone who would like to pray out loud will have time for that. We invite you to pray in any language that you want to pray. God understands every language. God loves all people in all languages. So pray in any language you like. Or if no one wants to pray aloud, we'll just have some silent time of prayer because God hears what's on our heart. It's not just the words we speak. He hears the words on our heart as well. And we do this because God is here with us, whether we understand that or not. God loves us, whether we feel that or not. We are already in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God, as citizens of God that come and spend time with him. So let's pray together. God, we are grateful for who you are. If we look at the world around us, we see hurt, we see pain, we see disappointment, we see tragedy. And we have no idea what to do. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the abuse and the killing and all the things that take place in this world, Jesus looked out on the very ones that were doing that and said, I just want to gather you like little chicks under my wing, like a mother hen. God, we like to think of ourselves as smart and strong, but we need that. We need that kind of love from you. Let us know that it's not about what we deserve. It's not about what we earn. It's just about your love for us, that you've already made us citizens of your kingdom, that you already love us. So let us be with you in these moments. Let us experience you. Let us know your love for us and that you know exactly how to fix whatever is going on with us to get us from where we are now to where you know we need to be. You know exactly how to do that. But we don't have to get there before you love us. We're already in that. So Lord, show us your presence. Let us experience you in this place as we lift our prayers to you.